for all the blessings of life and for every opportunity for thee. We ask thy blessing, Father, upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. And we are mindful, Father, of those who are not here because of sickness, aches, pains, trials, and tribulations. We pray, Father, that with your infinite mercy, that you would look upon them, Father, and raise them up from their affliction. Not our will, Father, but your will be done. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. 535. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saved today. Yes. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is dearer and the way grows clearer for. I'm in the glory land. Into the call of God will call today in the glory land way. Wonders from hope of patience to obey, for I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows clearer. I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows. I'm in the glory land way.
For the prayer, we'll sing number 533.
Nearer, still nearer. In the name of
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful, our all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we bow before your mighty throne this morning, Father, with bowed head and humble hearts, Lord, thankful for this avenue of prayer that we've been blessed with. Thankful, Father, for our family here, our body of Christ at Cross Street, Lord. Thankful for our elders, our deacons, our deacon, our teachers, Father, all those that help to perform the work of the church here, the ministry, all those that help to make up the members of our body here, Father. We pray that you continue to wrap your arms around our congregation here, our family, Father, that the work of the church would continue here, Lord. And Father, we're thankful for our brother Davis, Father. We pray that you'd bless him with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to bring us from thy word this morning, Lord. And that his words might touch us and prick our hearts, Father. And we pray, Lord, that if there be those among us this morning that are subject to thy invitation, whatever their needs might be, that they may make those needs known, Father, as your grace and mercy is extended to them. Our Father, we're mindful and thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. We know that these things are too numerous for us to even begin to count or contemplate, Lord, but help us to remember, Father, that all these things flow from thee. And Father, we're most thankful for thy grace and love, the grace and love that sent thy only begotten Son down to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, set the example and the teachings that he did, Father, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross and become that perfect Lamb of God, Lord, whose blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus and His sacrifice for us, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that the things that we do in life are actions and words and deeds would be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, we pray that everything will be conducted decent and in order, Lord. We pray that all of the acts of worship would be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father. And Lord, we just ask that You'd continue to watch over and guide each and every one of us, Father, and to help us all grow in Your grace and knowledge, Lord. And Father, we ask these in all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 296. 296.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my soul be fed and I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and its cages someday for a crown. Oh, that old cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear till my soul be that last.
We have this opportunity to come together on the first day of the week, to humble ourselves in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper that was instituted by our Lord Savior Jesus Christ on the night of his betrayal. To humble ourselves so that we do not make any change to the manner in which we partake of the Lord's Supper that goes against the will of our Heavenly Father. That we can partake of the Lord's Supper as we can read in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 32 in a worthy manner, so that we do not rush ourselves as we partake of the Lord's Supper. That we take this time in this moment to first reflect, clear our minds, to reflect back on that sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on our behalf, to understand that he was without blemish, he was without sin, that he had the power to save himself from that sacrifice on the cross. But that he loved each and every one of us so much that he was willing to give his life so that we may have that hope of eternal salvation. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare our minds and prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. We have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, to be able to come together and reflect on your Son's sacrifice, Heavenly Father, his willingness to give his life on that cross, Heavenly Father, his willingness to give his life so that we may have that hope of eternal salvation, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to partake of this Lord's Supper, that our minds will be clear at this time, Heavenly Father, that we can reflect back on that sacrifice on that cruel cross, and that we can partake of this bread which represents thy Son's body in a way and a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we pray for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. Lord, we'll greatly appreciate this privilege and this honor that we have to partake of this cup that represents the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross at Calvary. His precious blood that makes us whole, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We want to give you all praise, all honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And as we can read in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, this is also a time to humble ourselves so that as we prepare to give back, that we are able to give back without hesitation, that we give back with joy in our hearts. So let us keep that in mind. Make sure our minds and our hearts are in the right place as we prepare to give back. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessing, Heavenly Father, for the gift of life that you have given us, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, for comfort, for your comfort, for being with us every step of the way, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful, Heavenly Father, for blessing us with our talents, all of our abilities, Heavenly Father, giving us the will to go out in this world, Heavenly Father, and to work our jobs, Heavenly Father, so that we may be able to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. And giving us this opportunity, Heavenly Father, just to give back a portion of the many blessings that you have given us so that we can continue to grow this congregation, to continue to spread thy gospel, Heavenly Father. We pray that as we give, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's mark number 906 as a song of invitation. 906, the song of invitation. Dr. Gillespie. And then before that, we'll sing number 133. Just stand as we sing our song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, how a sinner could not see.
This morning's lesson is entitled, If Nothing Changes. The scripture reading will come from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, Brother Henry.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good. It's really good To be in the house of the Lord this morning, to be able to fellowship and worship and praise His holy name. And it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. To paraphrase 1 Peter 5 and 14, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. If you're a guest with us this morning, we want to let you know you are our honored guest. And we are so glad that you took the time to come and worship with us today. Take it out of your day to do that. We pray that the service at this point has been both edifying and uplifting. And we ask that at the end of the service that you don't rush off. Give us an opportunity to meet you. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." And I want you to understand this morning, nothing else. If I say this morning, I want you to understand two words I'm about to say. And those two words are, "but God." You know, last night could have been our last night on this earth, but God. We could be homeless, we could be hungry, but God. We could be out of our minds and not knowing night to day, but God. We could have no one to love us or even care about us, but God. We could be weak, we could be hopeless, with nowhere to go and no one to turn to, but God. We could have lost our own, we could be lost. In our own proverbial wilderness, not knowing whether to go right or left, but God. When we cry out and nobody can or will hear us, but God. Scripture tells us in Psalms 73 through 26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." A songwriter once wrote, "Many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, never communicating with the one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never ever lets you down. You can talk to him anytime. He is always around." So I want to encourage you this morning that when the trials of this earth have us facing what would have been, what should have been, or sometimes that very, very serious what could have been, I want you to take a moment and look up and say, "But God." I want to take the opportunity this morning to wish everyone a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. You know, this holiday, this has been called the unofficial start to summer, you know, with barbecues and warm weather and family gatherings. And well, while the weather has been somewhat late to the party lately, I'm fairly certain that the other events will take place. However, the true purpose of the holiday is to remember the ultimate sacrifice made by our brave men and women in the military service. This day holds a very, very special place in the hearts of my family in particular, because see, my father was a wounded career war veteran, and we didn't realize that he had been wounded twice in the war until, you know, several years ago. And he took Memorial Day very seriously. I remember he would get us up in the morning, and, you know, as kids, and go to the parade, and he would very much be involved in the ceremony. And I remember asking him one time, I said, "Dad," I said, "you know, why did you take Memorial Day so seriously? Why is it so serious to you? And he would say to me, "Because I've been on the battlefield and I made it home when I probably shouldn't have." So again, but God. John 15 and 13 reads, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So when I think of the great sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on that cross at Calvary for the remission of our sins, that we might be saved, my Father's words echo in my ears so much that one day, when this old life is over, I can say that I have been on the battlefield of this thing called life and made it home when I probably shouldn't have. You know, something to think about there this morning. This morning, folks, I want to talk to you about change. It was once said that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And they said that because they were saying the older we get set in our ways. And that's the way we are. And it is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. You know, and you think about that sometimes. No, I'm not doing that. This is where I am. This is where I'm going to be. You know, the things that we've learned in the past, you know, the older we get, whether they be right or wrong, it is now set in stone in our minds. You know, things that's going on today, I wasn't like that in my day, and I don't concern myself with that, some would say. However, when it comes to mankind and how we think, you know, can anyone really be set in that psychological stone, if you will? Can your mind really be set in psychological stone, if you will? Someone that can say something, make a simple statement, and say that's what it is, and I'm not going to concern myself with it. For an example, someone can say, well, where do apples come from? Well, you plant a tree and an apple comes out. That's all I need to know because that's all I'm going to concern myself with. That's it. However, we know that first an apple tree, you know, has to be a seed that transforms and changes many, many times before it's able to be mature enough to bear fruit. It goes through different phases, doesn't it? It goes from the seed phase, and then it goes into the small tree phase, then it goes through a bigger tree phase, then it has branches and leaves, and then it's now able to bear fruit. And we know that all those changes are vital and necessary for that tree to bear fruit. The Word of God identifies several changes that it went through with individuals that were vital, and they were both necessary for the pursuit of righteousness. And we know right off that there are several name changes in the Bible that were very important. We know that Abram's name was changed to Abraham, for God made him the father of many nations. That's in Genesis 17 and 5. We know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel in Genesis 35 and 10. So and he was become a nation and a community of all nations. We know that Saul's name was changed to Paul, and we know what his duties were in the New Testament, you know, bringing the Gentiles to Christianity. The Bible describes in Matthew 17 and 2 a complete change of form or appearance into a beautiful or spiritual state, as the Bible states, transfiguration of our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that each and every time in Scripture, when God has required a shifting, a correction, a conversion, or a transformation, a transfiguration, a renewing, a renaming, in other words, a change, it has always been for our good. Romans 8 and 28. However, greater problems arise in our hearts and in our minds when greater problems arise in our hearts and minds and nothing changes. The scripture this morning says that, therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So even as we talk about the tree, we talk about certain name changes, there is a specific with man that we have to go through. We have to change a little bit. We have to be able to develop. We have to be able to cultivate. We have to be able to grow. However, if nothing changes, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So when we look at the Bible, it is describing changes. It's not just talking about simple, superficial changes that we make from day to day. You know, like, I'm not going to eat eggs this morning, I'm going to have toast, or I'm not going to wear this, I'm going to wear a color blue instead of color red. No, we're not talking about that. The Word of God is talking about specific changes that helps us in our path to righteousness. The Word of God
is the one thing that we're going to start off with to talk about is not what we're talking about that's changing. That is our solid foundation. So we have to change to be able to conform to that solid foundation on which these changes are based upon. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To further this, 1 Corinthians 3 and 11 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than that the one has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that we understand that we have to have a firm foundation when it comes to our development and our growth and, dare I say, our changes. Okay, and upon this foundation, it tells us what to change. When we go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We started talking about service for today. And do not be conformed to this world, yet be transformed, there's a word again, changed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word also tells us how to do this. It also tells us how to renew our mind, how to do this. It says to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. In other words, do your best to win God's approval as a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed and who teaches only the true message. Keep away from worthless and useless talk. It only leads to people further away from God. So study. Understand what it is God wants us to do. Don't be trying to do anything only on our own and try to let and allow the Lord to order our steps. See, man often makes, he does this all the time, we do this all the time, make the grave mistake of placing himself equal with God and his ways. And let me explain that. See, we know it has been said that nothing lasts forever. We know that seasons change. And here in the state of Michigan, we know the seasons can change in 24 hours, don't we? So we can sometimes perceive that we're living our best lives. This is what I'm talking about, that everything is going the way that we perceive it to want it to go. And we are doing what we feel is in our best interest. We could have the best job. We could be driving the finest car. We could be living in a fine home and have everything in it the way we want to have it. And it may be during those times when God will intervene in your life and be ready for us to move on to the next season. That everything that was going on there, it is time to move on to the next season. And because we think we're in our best season of our lives, we want to buck against that. And for what God has for us, because we have it going on. We have control. But God said, it's time to move. It's time to do something else. I don't want to do that. Knowing all the time that his will is going to be done. So we can sit there and buck against it all that we want to. We can either go freely or we're going to be chased in some way. And sometimes that's what makes it difficult when it's time to move to the next season. The question comes that if we stay right there, knowing that nothing lasts forever, then nothing is going to... If the question comes, if nothing changes for us, then guess what? Then nothing is going to change in our lives. And when as it pertains to God, it has been said that a man that is the same at the age of 55 as he was at 25 has wasted 30 years of his life. Say that again. A man that is the same at 55 as he was at 25 has wasted 30 years of his life. No growth, no development, no learning, no understanding. Okay? I'm just going to be the same as I am. As nothing changes, then guess what? Nothing changes. And to give you a little bit more to that, consider the parable of the three servants. This is Matthew 25, 14 and 30. Matthew 25, 14 and 30. I'll be reading from the NIV version. It says, again, it will be like a man going into a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. The one he gave 5 bags of gold, in the New King James Version it says talents, another 2,000 talents, and another one, 1,000 talents, and according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man had received 5 bags of gold, went at once and put them his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold? See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came and said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you was a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid to and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is. It belongs to you. Here's what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. I will for whoever will be given more, they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even when they have been taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen to this story. God expects us to develop. He gave us all talents. He gave us all abilities. He expects us to grow. He is in the business of growing and developing his people. He doesn't want us to stay stagnant. Everything that he does is for a reason. Whether we know what that reason is or not, when it happens, it is for our growth and development, for us to not to keep, but to share. The knowledge and the wisdom that the Lord has given us, has got to account for something in our lives. God has given us, again, talents to develop and cultivate for his glory. But if we bury our talent, stay stuck in tradition, we've always done it that way, or even have the audacity in this case, well, you know, I believe that God don't want me to do this, so I'm going to stay in a hole. I'm going to keep my light under a bushel, if you will. You know, or would we worship the wrong things? You know, I'm more concerned about money. I'm worried about cars and not the things of God. Then guess what? If nothing changes in your life, nothing changes. And we will be no different than the stubborn couple who has clearly lost on their road to anywhere they need to go and keeps passing the same gas station time and time and time again and never stop and ask for directions. Now, I know there's probably some wives out there looking dead at their husbands when I said that. So, guys, forgive me. But you ever ask yourself, you ever talk to somebody and they say, I can't understand why this keeps happening to me. Why does this keep happening to me? Crying to God, God, why does this keep happening to me? Because there's something that we are missing in those circumstances. It's almost like I've heard the definition for insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You know, that's not what God is doing. He is trying to grow us. He is trying to grow us through trials and tribulations. And we try to stay where we're at, and we don't develop, we don't grow. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. We need to continue to evaluate what we are doing and what it does, whether it lines up with God's word. Is it righteous or is it tradition? Are we going to trust the plans that he has for us, or are we going to be leaning on our own understanding? If we do that, nothing changes. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Isaiah 43:18-19 reads, Remember ye not the former things, not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, here it is again, I will do a new thing. Now it shall be spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers and the deserts. Folks, if nothing changes with us, when we know we are standing on a firm foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we know we have the Word as our guide and it's given us specific instructions on how we're supposed to do things, how we're supposed to develop, when we're going through trials and we understand that there is a reason behind it, that God is trying to build in us, but we try to stay stuck in our own understanding, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Scripture clearly tells us that all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and according to his purpose. No need for aggravation. No need for frustration. No need for irritation, anxiety, fear, or apathy. There's no need for that. We need to trust in the Lord and not trust in our own understanding, because if nothing changes, nothing changes. Everything that happens in our lives, no matter how devastating we think it might be, is for our learning. It's for our learning. Understand that. You know, Brother Gilbert mentioned this morning about what went on with our home, and we're safe, thank God. But you know, there was a lesson to be learned there. You know, there's a lesson to be learned there. There was other people in our neighborhood that we had an opportunity to pray with. We had an opportunity to minister to. You know, and while we are sitting here and we were devastated by what happened, we were able to talk to other people and pray with other people, because it was devastating for other people, even the people who lost their homes. But if we were all caught up in just what was going on with us, we missed an opportunity to share how good the Lord is with somebody. But God, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And so, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of sin, that whoever shall believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word. That was his word. Believe in his word. Repent of sins, which is another way of changing. Change how we do things. Turn away from sin. Confess faith that Jesus is Lord. Be baptized and come out of that water and walk into a newness of life. And God adds you to his church. Acts 4:2-47. Again, not by vote of man. God alone adds you to his church. But if you're already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, if you leaned on your own understanding, God welcomes you back. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. I'm just going to keep saying that. And again, may God, if you need a prayer, if you are needing prayer, prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. So, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, whatever your needs are this morning, we ask that you make them known. Come forward, have a seat on the first pew, and together we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you all.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread. Ye fasting, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Invitation, come who soever will, praise God for full salvation. For who soever will, all things are ready. Come to the feast, come for the door is open wide.
Thank you.